So the happiest place on earth. So we bought our tickets, got a couple rooms, and Harry Potter's a big deal to us. So we got 2 days at Universal Studios and 2 days at Disney World, because that's what we can afford. And we loaded up the car and we took off. And on our way down there, we got to Chattanooga, and you know, we like food. So we looked at the TripAdvisor to see what some of the top places were in Chattanooga. And so one of the places we found was this Mediterranean Greek place. And we're like, we don't eat a lot of Mediterranean Greek food. So we stopped off and we had this Mediterranean food at this Greek place. And then we drove a few more hours and stopped at this awesome rest area and got some sodas and let the kids run around. And that was really cool because kids don't get to run around every day at a rest area. And then we got to Atlanta, which is exactly halfway there. And we stopped and stayed in this hotel that I got on hotels.com for real cheap. It was like $190 room, and we paid like $89 for it. Hardwood floors, big screen TV. And we watched TV in this hotel room, and they had free breakfast downstairs. And so we ate the free breakfast. And I looked over at Jamie, and I was like, you know what's here? The Coca-Cola place is here. Our kids love Coca-Cola. Let's go there. So we went to the Coca-Cola place on that day, and the next day we decided we liked food so much that Atlanta's got all of this cool food. So the next day, halfway there, we stopped and we went to a breakfast place that was amazing, and then a lunch place that you could only get into at a certain time because they make certain hamburgers, because I saw it on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And then we went to a dinner place that we really couldn't afford, but it was yummy, all right? And then that night I was looking at her and I said, you know what else is here? One of the coolest aquariums ever. And they have whale sharks. They have whale sharks. And so the next day, we went and we saw the whale sharks. But there were so many people there that we got a two-day pass. And the next day, we went back to the aquarium so we could see everything else. And then we went back and saw the whale sharks. And then the next day, we figured out that there were two more places that we wanted to eat. So we ate at those two places, and it was absolutely phenomenal. And then we only had a day left. So we went back to the hotel, spent the night, and came back home. And that was our amazing trip to Disney World. It was unbelievable. And the kids had a blast. Why my mom's down here like, we had a ball. Disney was amazing. I heard a story the other day about this lady. She was really, really sick. I mean, she was really sick. And the doctors couldn't figure out what was going on. And they get to this one doctor. They had to go up north to do it. They get to this one doctor. And he says, listen. He says, I know what's wrong with you. I know what's wrong with you. But it's the process is going to be really painful, all right? There are six medications that it takes. Six medications that it takes to heal you completely, all right? Three of those medicines are going to make you sicker than you've ever been in your life. You know what my friend did? My friend thanked him, got all excited, told everybody she was going to get well, and took the three medications that didn't make her sick. And that's all she ever took. Went back to the doctor, asked him why she wasn't healed. He said, I have six medications for you to take. She went back home. You know what she did? She took three of those medications. She didn't get better. Why not? Anybody? Why didn't she? She didn't take all six. It does not take a rocket scientist to figure it out that the doctor said take all six. She took three. She got halfway there and didn't get better. You don't know what I did before I moved here? I was a personal trainer. I know it's hard to believe now, but I was. Stephen and I are on it. We are on it. We are getting up in the morning, and we are unhappily joining one another at 5:45 a.m., and we are working out. We've got our Fitbits on. We're pushing each other on the challenges. I had 84,000 steps last week, all right? That's a few steps, all right? Listen, I would have people come to the gym all the time, and they would be like, can you help me? I need to lose 20 pounds. Absolutely. And you know what? Cost was not really relevant to me. They would make me charge a certain price because I worked for a place called Fit Studio and they had a set rate. But if that person wanted to come in and I could sneak in, I would give the part to the gym, but I would do it for them because that's what I wanted. And here's what I would say. I can work out with you. I can help you lose 20 pounds. Two things before we get started. One, you have to work out when you're not with me, and you have to eat what I tell you. And they would look at me and they would say, I will work out without you. I'm not eating what you tell me. I would look back at them and say, I cannot help you lose weight. Why? Can you all explain something to me then? How come it's okay to some church? How come Jesus can give his only son, give his life, save you from the hell you deserve, and then by your actions every single day, you tell Jesus some is enough? Well, Craig, I don't do that. No problem. The offering's still in here. I'll be glad to open up every envelope and read aloud what you gave. And you let me know if that's all or some. You let me know if that's 10% or 1%. But Craig, you don't get it. You don't get it. Every day I work with people. Every day I work with people who swear. They swear. And they listen to really, really bad music. And they do not even watch Joel on Sunday morning. I show up twice a month. That's 24 times a year more than them. And if the race were to them, you'd be ahead. But I find nowhere in the scripture where it says that as long as you're better than the next guy, you win. Do you know when that works? When you're being chased by a bear. You don't have to outrun the bear. You got to outrun your buddy. Somebody got it. Because if the bear gets your buddy, you're good to go. So some of you are trying to outrun your buddy. The problem is we're not outrunning anything. We're running to something. And you know who we all despise? We all despise those Pharisees. We all hate those Pharisees. We all don't want to be like those Pharisees. And I don't mean to be rude, but you're Pharisees. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Look it up. Look it up right now. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Only one time did Jesus, well, one time in his action, he really got angry. I'll use the word angry because I said another word one time and people didn't like it. Jesus got really, really mad. And he started cracking a whip in the church house. A cat of nine tails. Another time, he preached it. He laid in to the religious leaders. I mean laid into them. Shame on you. Shame on, seven times. Shame on you. Shame on you. And one time, he called out the halfways. One of the seven, he goes, oh, that's right. Look down through there. Shame on you for this. Shame on you for this. Shame on you for this. And then Matthew 23, 23 says this. Shame on you. Oh, yes, you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. Why didn't you do the first ones and the second ones? King James, these ye ought have done and not leave the rest undone. Where are my King James people? Did I nail it? That's what it says. So here's what he says. Let me pat you on your happy little Christian bottom for showing up today. And let me pat you on your little bottom for making it just to give something in the offering plate. And let me give an extra pity pat to you for showing up for Sunday school. But here's my thing. Why the rant on Facebook last night about that guy you work with degrading him? I don't think that was quite right. Why the relationship that is not in the bonds of marriage that you are continuing to carry out sexually? Why the not serving unless it's convenient for you. These ye ought have done and not leave the rest undone. Well, Craig, you need to preach more grace. You need to preach a little more grace. Nobody's going to want to come to your church if you come in here with your heavy boots all the time, kicking, especially when the children are in here. Well, church, let me kick you a little harder. Do you know why the church, well, you know why the children are in here this morning? Anybody want to take a gander why the children are in here today? Because we had 14 workers scheduled this morning. Four showed up. My numbers may be off by one or two, but my friend pulled me into my office, angry, and should have been, and said, "What do I do?" She said, "I feel like shutting it down." Shut it down. Shut it down. What if somebody comes in and complains? I don't care. You put in half, you get half back. Craig, if you don't stop preaching like this, we're going to quit coming. Fine. If you can look me in the eyes and say Jesus didn't say it, I'll quit preaching it. But before you say it, turn to the Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation, chapter 3. Find the big, bold type. Find the big bold type that says Laodicea or to the church at Laodicea and look at the words right underneath it. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one, cold, or the other, hot. But because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, because you are halfway, neither home nor in Florida, because you are half healed, neither sick or well, because you are half fat, neither skinny nor diet, you know, excess, because you are halfway, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich and I do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are poor, pitiful, wretched, blind, and naked. What? That is called a throwdown. And then he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Then you'll know what rich is. Salve to cover your eyes. Then you'll know what it's like to see. And clothes to cover your shameful nakedness, because dang. That's what he says. That's a TRV. Tackett Revised Version. That's what he says. You went and, this is so funny. We went to the zoo the other day and I used a word and I had to explain it. We used to play volleyball, all right, out at one of the local bars in town. Jamie and I would go and we'd play outdoor volleyball because that's where they played volleyball, okay? And there was this one fella, God love him, average volleyball player at best, fairly ripped from the waist up, you know, chicken legs, but that's all, guys. Fairly ripped from the waist up, but, you know, chicken legs on down, and thick pecs, and he would play volleyball with his shirt off. Couldn't play, but, you know, with his shirt off, and we called it peacocking. He was peacocking. He was showing his plumage, you know? And you know what? When we stand up and we go, hey, I give, hey, I serve, hey, my kids were at BBS, you know what Jesus is going? You're peacocking. You're flexing spiritual muscles that ought not be flexed. And you look silly. Did he have a nice body? It was all right. It was better than mine. But did he look cool and amazing? He was peacocking. And that's what I saw at the zoo. One of them was like, meh. I was like, he's peacocking. And you know what Jesus does to you when you go, you're spiritually peacocking. Do any of you for a minute want to be where Peter was? when Jesus is standing in your boat and all of a sudden you realize what you really look like? You know why we compare ourselves to the other guy? Because it makes us feel better. Do you know what they call that in elementary school? Bullying. Find me in the scripture where Jesus says, you know what I need from my people? I need them to be the spiritual bullies. I need them to knock down all the rest of the people so that they feel good about themselves. I need them to be halfway. That's what I need. I need to give my life for them. I need to make this world for them, and I need them to be halfway. No, Jesus says, that makes me want to throw up. Well, Craig, what if I don't give? It's okay, but I'm never going to tell you that it's not sinning. Well, Craig, what if I want to stay in this relationship that's not a marriage relationship? It's okay, but I'm never going to tell you that it's not sinning. Well, Craig, what if I want to keep my on-the-side girl? Okay, but your marriage is going to die, and I'm never going to tell you that it's not sinning. Well, Craig, how do you balance being a pastor of a church where people want to do these things and don't want to do these things? And how do you balance grace and love and judgment and righteousness? I don't know. Okay, church? I do not know. So do you know what I do? I get up and I say, today, God, I'm going to need some help. And I call wise friends, and I say, what's up, fellas? Today I'm going to need somebody to walk with me. And I gather elders, and I look at them, and I say, you know what? Today I'm going to need y'all to help me. Because people are going to fall. People are going to hurt. People are not going to give. People are going to need us. People are going to not be what God called them to be. And I'm going to call them to be more. And they're going to weep, and they're going to hurt, and they're going to lash out. And I'm going to have to respond to that. And I can't. So I'm going to need a little help. You know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it all again. If you need a pastor with the answers, pick a new church. If you need a pastor that's going to run after God's hand, try to grab on and hold on tight, I'm your guy. You know what the Celtic people called that? The Celtic people called it angelad glas. Angelad glas. Do you know what that translates to? The wild goose. That was what they called the Holy Spirit. See, over the lakes of Ireland, there used to be these huge wild birds that nobody could tame, these wild geese, and they would fly in the midst of the fog. And their word for the Holy Spirit was like their word for that bird. Because if you could grab its tail, that's what life in the Holy Spirit is like. That's what Mark Batterson says. He says, if you can grab hold of one of those tails, you can't see where you're going, you don't care where you're going, but the flight's going to be fun, and it's going to be amazing. Grabbing hold of the Holy Spirit is just like that. All the answers aren't laid out for you, but you're going to enjoy the ride, and you're going to get perfectly where you need to be. Why? Because Jesus never fails. But you don't get to grab the bird, hold on for a few minutes, and then let go. That's halfway, and that'll get you in the lake. If you take your friends with you, guess where it'll get them? And if you're halfway long enough, you're going to drive people to another lake. Did y'all figure that one out yet? Let me help you. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and then deny him with their lives. That's what an unbelieving world finds unbelievable. So, halfway means hypocrite. Hypocrite means nobody wants what you have. Somebody who doesn't want what you have ends up in hell, described in the Bible as the lake of. I'm not saying this because it makes me happy. I'm not saying this so that you'll leave or stay. I'm saying this because there was a covenant. And in a moment where I promised every one of you that what I would do is preach the word, and that's all that I would do. And Jesus was very bold when he called out the sum. And I need you to hear this loud and clear. Some is not better than none. The illusion of some being better than none is a fail. Hear it. I wish you were either one or the other. Hot or not. In poker, they have a name for it. What is it? I'm pushing my chips all in. I wanted to stand up here and say if this sermon made you angry, I was probably talking to you, and then I decided not to, even though I just said it. But here's what I will say. There are some of us who have missed a Sunday. There are some of us who have had something come up and couldn't serve in kids' ministry. There are some of us who got scared and the bills were running tight and we missed a tithe or two. I'm not talking to you. But there are people who literally are some of the greatest promoters of our church. Literally. Like, I love this church. I love being a member of this church. I haven't seen them in 6 months. That's a true statement. If you're convicted, praise God. Praise God that he's working on you. Max Lucado calls that on the anvil. Praise God that he is there hammering on you, because at the end of the hammering, you will be a useful tool. Your other option is broken and on the floor. Praise God, you're on the anvil. I want that for you. But it hurts. I want that for you. I want to get all the way to the happiest place on earth, not halfway. I want to get all the way to health, not halfway. I want to get all the way to rid of the pastor pooch, not halfway. I want to get all the way to financial freedom. And let me take this moment to say to you, yesterday was our first Super Saturday, Super Saturday Finance. And praise God, there were around 16 people there. Listen to me. For me to try to tell you from the pulpit, I'm good with words. This is what I do. For me to try to tell you how good yesterday was would be a disservice to yesterday. Here's what I will tell you. I love you deeply. I would give my life for you. True story. All that I have is yours. I may mess up. I may accident, but in my heart, that's where I am. If I had the authority to force 80% of you to go through that class, I would play that card. Do you hear me? If I had the authority to make you go, I would. I don't, and I'm not going to use my chips there. But if that came up, and that was one of the places, all of the credentials that I've built with you that I could use, I would play them. It was that good. We're going to do it again. Don't make excuses. Just come. Okay? Or ask anybody who was there. All right? I have every intention of changing this body, changing this father, and changing this town. So that when we walk out the doors, we're not worried about what used to be, but we're seeing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, that it just blossoms from our banks, blossoms from our Walmart, blossoms from our Kroger, that it's just weird how nice and friendly and godly our town is. I am not going to stop until we're there. But because you chose to walk through these doors and sign this covenant, that starts with you. And so halfway's not enough. And I will not take it back. I'm going to ask Cameron to come up here right now. And I'm going to ask him to play. And I'm going to let you know that it's going to get very awkward in here for the next minute or two. Because I'm not going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm not going to ask you to sit and think. I'm not going to tell you what to think about. He's going to play. You're going to sit. And everything that I just said or sang is going to resonate in your head. You're not going to be able to help it. This will be one time you ain't going to be able to get me out your head. You know why? Because while you're looking around being awkward, I'm going to pray that God doesn't let me out your head. And he's going to honor that. You have a choice after the initial awkwardness. You can get up. You can say, I know, God, that you're dealing with me in this. And you and God can make a commitment. You can grab the hand of your spouse. You can look at each other and you can know exactly what you're talking about. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your sports, maybe it's your television, maybe it's your cable, maybe it's a habit. Whatever it is that you know that you got to let go of so you can be all or nothing, you know that's why it's going to get awkward. God doesn't do awkward. You know why? There's nothing he hasn't seen. You don't get naked before God. You are naked before God. That's why the first sermon in the series was Get Naked. I promise you this. Naked before God is as good as it gets. You know how I know? Because Genesis chapter 1 was as good as it gets. We broke it in chapter 3. In our lives, God's plan is about chasing us back to one. Let's start our journey. What do you say? He's going to play. You're going to think. The altar is yours. Choose. Start today moving toward all. Or nothing. Neither Jesus nor I will love you any less or any more.